The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys, Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week, once again, is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about book publishing. If you are an aspiring author and you've written a nonfiction or a fiction book, this is the place to be right now because I've got a special guest who works in the publishing industry, who does a lot of marketing and PR work, who's going to help us learn all about what it takes to get a book published and then what you need to do once the book deal is made. It's really helpful information because, you know, everybody has a book inside of them and not everybody wants to get it out, not everybody gets it out, but some people try to get it out, and some people write an entire book. For instance, if you write a fiction book, you've got to write the entire book before you even submit it and query the agents and publishing companies. If you write a nonfiction book, it's a little bit different. You do a proposal, a couple of sample chapters, and you might get a deal that way. But we're going to talk about all of that. My special guest is a marketing person who works at HCI, Inc., Health Communications Incorporated, Lindsay Tribel, a very astute expert in all things having to do with book marketing and publicity. So I'm very excited to do that because I really want to help people out there, because so many people, I know from myself going through my own publishing journey, if you will, and the rejections that we receive and how discouraging it can be. And, you know, it's like anything else. You write the book and then you've got to get a deal. And the work really begins after you write the book in many ways, because after you do a couple of drafts on your book and you feel you have something there, then you're going to have to polish it and edit it. For me, it took me more time by far to redo the edits and the revisions than it did to write the book. I had some good ideas in mind and the stories came out fine, but editing, revising, and making it flow to make that an emotional connection with the reader, that's a tough one. And then from there, if you have to know how to deal with the industry, the nomenclature, the rapport you have to develop with these agents who you really don't meet, they get so many submissions, and it seems like there's so much rejection, and it's really tough to break through. And nowadays, you've got self-publishing, so many people who didn't get picked up by traditional publishers, they either go on their own or they do hybrid publishing, and there's lots of ways to get published. But that creates a more competitive landscape because now you've got more and more and more books on the shelf. And then you've got the social media aspect where so many celebrities have books. Many of them are memoirs, but some celebs even get some deals for novels and things like that. And then you've got all the self-help books. But the shelves are crowded, so people are reading more and more, whether it's on a device, whether it's a physical book, ebook, audiobooks are growing. We're going to get into all of that with my special guest, Lindsay Tribel, who's going to really help us learn how to navigate that journey from having an idea in your head, getting your book in the bookstore, and more importantly, getting your book in the hands of a reader.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, welcome to the interview portion of our show. And today we're going to talk about the world of book publishing, more specifically nonfiction book publishing. So I've brought in a special guest who is an expert in the area, who does public relations and market coordination for one of the big nonfiction publishing houses, Health Communications, Inc. My guest is Lindsay Tribel. Let me tell you a little bit about Lindsay. Again, she's public relations and marketing coordinator for HCI Health Communications, Inc. In that role, Lindsay plans and manages marketing and publicity campaigns for HCI Books, including working with authors on social media, media coverage, author events. She's got over a decade of experience in the publishing business, in the trade and educational publishing, bachelor's degree in communications and journalism minor, master of arts in teaching degree from Northeastern University. Welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Lindsay Tribel.
Hi, Robert. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm delighted that you're here, and I think you can really help a lot of people who are out there. Everybody has kind of a book in them, but it's a matter of can you get that book out and what type of book is it, and then how to navigate the industry. And based on my own experience, there's writing the book and then there's managing and understanding how the industry works. And it's very tricky sometimes. So tell us a little bit about HCI. I know they do the Chicken Soup of the Soul series. They're huge in the nonfiction area. You published the Joe Dispenza Evolve Your Brain book and just so many others. Tell us a little bit about your background and about HCI.
Sure. So HCI Books, or also known as Health Communications, Inc., is a traditional book publisher based out of Boca Raton, Florida. It's distributed by Simon & Schuster, so it's not an imprint of Simon & Schuster. It's like a distribution client. We publish about 17 titles per year. Most of those are in like the self-help, inspirational, and mental health area, nonfiction books. A few titles to mention that people might know about are A Child Called It, The Adult Children of Alcoholics, and then a few new releases that you might have heard of, Heidi Across America, or the Mother-Daughter Relationship Makeover. We are the original publisher of the Chicken Soup series, although we no longer publish that.
Okay. All right. So it's a big important company. Part of it has a relationship distribution with Simon & Schuster. So you're dealing in a hot area. Is the nonfiction and specifically self-help area like really happening right now? It seems like it.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of interest in self-help. Self-care is a hot topic right now, especially mental health as well, anxiety. So we have a lot of books in those areas. We do see that those are hot areas of publishing and of interest to the media and to readers.
Now, how did you get your start in the business and why did you choose publishing?
So I've always been interested in book publishing. My father was actually in business, but he was also a textbook and reference book author. So I grew up around him, writing these books, and I just always thought it was fascinating. So eventually I went to Northeastern University for college and I got a communications degree and a journalism minor. And I was able to get a position as an editorial assistant at a book publisher in Boston. And from there, I, just continued to gain industry experience. I in marketing and publicity, and today I have about 15 years of experience in the industry.
Now, in that time frame, Lindsay, what have you seen happening in terms of changes in the industry itself and also in the way the books are marketed?
So one big thing that's changed over time is that there's a lot more books being published, and that's a result of the option of like self-publishing. So when I first started in publishing, self-publishing wasn't really something that was, talked about a lot, but there's so many more people self-publishing these days that as a result, there's a lot of traditional books published, like the books from HCI Books, but there's also self-publishing. So I think there's just like a lot more books available on the market, which makes it a lot more competitive for sales because there's a lot more options and it's a lot easier for an author to publish if they decide to go the self-publishing route.
How about the hybrids now? Are they growing like the Greenleafs of the world where the author puts, gives them the book and then you make an agreement if they want to publish it and then you have some of your own skin in the game?
Yeah, so that's also another area too that's kind of arisen from like the self-publishing, the hybrid publisher. So as you're pointing out, there's a variety of different ways to get published now. Whereas years ago, you know, when I first started my career, you know, most of the books that were published were traditionally published.
Mm-hmm. How about the marketing of the books? Has that changed with based on social media and the advent of that? And I think what one thing that authors don't realize is, once the book is done, then the work begins, right?
Yes, absolutely. I always say that, and authors always say how, like, you know, surprised they are that, you know, they finally get the book to the printer and, you know, they get the copy in hand, but they feel like the real work is starting because then they have to do all the marketing and publicity and get the word out. Because, you know, otherwise you have a book that nobody knows about if you're not promoting it. But definitely marketing and publicity has changed over the years as well. I would say that, you know, more of the focus is on, you know, book awareness and sales generated through digital discovery. So like online and social media, you know, and obviously, you know, authors are still doing things like, you know, interviews, like, you know, like this podcast. We have a lot of authors that are interviewed on TV, podcasts, websites, but we also have, you know, authors who are growing social media followings and their social media influencers. And so I think there's just a lot more going on online. And that's really, you know, a lot of people are finding books through online avenues.
How about the book fairs? It used to be like that was it. There was a big one in New York. There's one in Frankfurt. There's a couple around the world. Do they have the same importance as they did in the past?
So now Publishers Weekly started what's called the U.S. Book Show, which I'm actually going to next week, which I'm really excited about.
Where is it?
It's in New York City.
Okay.
And that's in, like, the key event, which has replaced like the book expo that used to happen in New York City. Mm-hmm. So that's still a prominent event. And then also the Frankfurt Book Fair is definitely still a prominent event. There's also book fairs across the country that authors sometimes are able to get a placement in. As an example, we had an author who was in the Texas Book Festival. So she was on like a panel with another author that was a memoirist. So there's, you know, based on where you live as an author, there might be like a local book festival, book fair type of thing that you could apply and see if they'd be interested in having you participate.
Okay. I'd like to circle back to the book shows. But first I want to get into what I think is really the core of our conversation is, you know, it really takes a team it takes a village, if you will, to publish a book, starting with the author. And we'll focus on nonfiction because if you write a fiction book, you have to write the entire book. And then you send your queries out. And usually what happens is you get no answer and then you get a one line rejection. That's kind of a standard line. And then you get some comments and then you get asked for a chapter and then you get asked for the whole book and then you get asked to rewrite the whole book. And it seems like this romance that keeps going back and forth. Whereas in the nonfiction, you only have to write a few chapters. So what I'd like you to do, if you can, Lindsay, is tell us about all the players that are involved in the publishing process for a nonfiction book. Who does what? The author, let's say the author has done their query type of proposal, and maybe you can talk to us about what needs to be in that proposal. What are the topics? And then the headlines, and then also sample chapters, how many sample chapters, who that goes to, and then what happens once there's an agreement to publish that book.
So HCI in particular, we take submissions from authors directly from the author or through a literary agent. It depends on the publisher. I know the bigger publishers only take submissions directly from a literary agent. So just, I guess, the information I'm giving you, it depends on what kind of publisher you're working with. But, you know, the book proposal would have an overview of your book, your bio. It would have some information about what kind of marketing avenues you have available to help promote the book. So like if you were somebody like yourself that has like a social media following, like you would want to include social media numbers. Mm-hmm. If you've been a guest on a lot of podcasts or TV shows, you would want to include that kind of marketing information just to give the publisher an idea of, you know, if they were to publish the book, where the author could have some potential promotion. Also competitive titles. So like, you know, if you were writing a book on anxiety, you might find some other competitive titles that are similar and talk about how they're different. So those are all things that would be included in a nonfiction book proposal. Also, you know, a table of contents and some sample content. I'm not sure if there's an exact number of chapters to include, but I think it might depend on who you're submitting to, or if you were working with an agent, they would probably have some guidelines as to what to include. But definitely, you know, the overview, having a clear understanding of your platform as the author, like kind of what potential marketing avenues and even just marketing ideas you have for the book. Like maybe you were thinking of doing some type of creative book tour and you wanted to mention that in the book proposal. So once the book proposal, those are all obviously either coming directly from an author, if the publishing company will accept directly from the author. If not, then it would come from a literary agent. And so, as I mentioned, HCI takes both direct submissions and literary agent submissions. But once it got...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted.
That's okay. I was going to say that once it's accepted for publication... Okay. Then, you know, you would be assigned to an editor. That editor would, depending on the publishing house, it might be somebody internal that would do some of this work, or they might use outside freelancers. But just as an example, like at HCI, we have two editors that work on the book. They do like developmental editing. They have copy editors and proofreaders who are, you know, outside vendors that do work on the book as well. And then we have an art director who makes the like the design layout. So that, you know, for just like a book that's just got text, it's pretty simple. But if you're having like some type of like an exercise book or something with photos or illustrations, it might be a little bit more designed. So they make like a layout for the book. And then pour the event, you know, eventually once the book's been edited and it's in good shape, they pour that content into the design layout and then, you know, work on the cover, back cover, all that, and then get it ready for the printer.
And how long does that process take from submission to some type of decision about some type of response in the submission, and then from when it's accepted to publication?
So it really depends on the publisher. You know, I know that some publishers, you know, a lot of publishers actually don't have the bandwidth to respond. Like I know that at HCI, you know, we have the proposals that come in. There's a disclaimer on the site that they're, unfortunately, they get, due to the amount of submissions, they're not able to respond to them all. So, you know, I think it depends on the publisher. You know, some may respond, others probably don't, just because of bandwidth, same thing. And it really would vary. You know, I know the editors that I've worked with, you know, usually if they find something that's submitted directly from an author, they pretty quickly will, you know, set up a meeting with the author or submit it to like our editorial team for consideration. And I think the literary agents too, when they're submitting their proposals to the editors for consideration, they're expecting a quick turnaround. So it depends on kind of if the author's directly submitting to a publisher or if the agent's submitting. And I think it also depends on the publisher. But you know, it is really challenging, as you know, to get traditionally published. So unfortunately, I know a lot of authors have, you know, submitted lots of proposals and you know, haven't heard anything and can get frustrated.
And what can happen is sometimes you know, you're working with somebody and they ask you to do changes. I had this happen to me. They asked me to tilt the book in a different way. I rewrote the entire book. I submitted it and then I didn't hear anything. And then I followed up and, you know, I could tell that the person who had been interested had kind of moved on. And it was it'd be very easy for a lot of authors to get defeated by that. But you have to decide, you know, I always say writing a book can't be something you want to do. It has to be something you have to do if you're going to succeed, because you can't, you know, just ignore the no's and try to take out of the no's if there's any information they gave you that could help you improve the product. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when authors do get feedback, which I know is not very often, that is really helpful. And then they can kind of see their book from like a new perspective and kind of have a new vision for it and maybe think of a new place that they could try to get it published. But I agree, it is, as an author, I could see it being really frustrating to get rejections. But unfortunately, I think that's just part of the process. You know, I'm sure there are authors who get lucky and have things, you know, quickly,
of course,
you know, fall align, you know, the stars align, but a lot of times it's a drawn out process.
Okay. Lindsay Tribel, my very special guest on Guys, Guys Radio. We're talking about nonfiction book publishing, and Lindsay's giving us kind of a roadmap as to how the system works and how you can navigate it. My understanding, Lindsay, is that the proposal on a nonfiction book, if it's going to be a successful one, it should mirror the voice and tonality of the book itself. So in other words, you want to engage your audience. In this case, the audience is the agent or the publishing company, the same way you would as your end audience, the reader. So you want to do it in a way that's not heavy-handed, but you want to do it in a way that they really have a very clear idea and you're making a connection with the person you're submitting to. Could you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a really good point that, you know, you're obviously trying to, you know, sell yourself or pitch yourself as, you know, why they would want to work with you as an author based on some of the marketing information and, you know, why would your book potentially sell? But I do think that the content, you want to reach the reader, but you also want to appeal to the editors. And I think that's what's so great about some of the self-help stuff that HCI does is that, you know, a lot of the topics that we're getting submissions on, you know, are things that are relatable to a lot of different people. So, you know, during an editorial meeting, when we talk about the different proposals that the editors are considering, you know, we can all kind of bring our own life experiences into thinking about whether or not we think the book would be something we'd want to get behind.
Mm-hmm. So it is, to be clear for our audience, when somebody submits a query or a proposal, if you will, for nonfiction, the person reviewing would be typically an editor?
So how
does that work?
Yeah, so if you're submitting directly to a publisher, and as I mentioned, not all publishers accept direct submissions, so you have to go on their website.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They do. But if you're submitting directly to a publisher, exactly, an editor would be the one that's reviewing the proposals that come in and considering it. So you'd be addressing it to an editor an editorial team. But usually, you know, the publishers I've been at, there's like an editorial board who like meets to like talk about the book proposals that they're considering. So there is other colleagues that probably will look at the proposal as well. But essentially, the editor is the one who's first deciding whether or not they want to consider it.
Now, would an agent, if you happen to connect with an agent, and we should talk about that a little bit also, because there's books that have the listings of agents by genre. So you don't want to just blast your proposal out there to anybody, because 50% of the time you're going to be off the mark because that person is not the right, they don't represent your type of work. So first you've got to get the right agents in a list and then start to write to them individually. And then you need to sell the agent on the concept and the proposal, and then the agent would then contact editors they know, or who would they contact?
Exactly. So if you're able to find a literary agent, then they would have connections with editors at the different publishing houses, and you know, based on their relationships and where they think it might be of interest, they would kind of like shop it around to find somebody that would be interested in publishing it. But definitely with the literary agents, I absolutely agree that it's important to really research them and figure out, you know, if they're looking for titles that are, you know, similar to what you've written, or, you know, you don't want to send a book about anxiety to a children's book author that's, you know, looking for picture books. So you don't want to really like take the time to, it's better to send out fewer queries to agents and have them be well-researched and really find like who would be a good fit for your project than to kind of just blindly send them out. I know that a lot of the literary agencies have submission guidelines on their websites. And then there's also this site called Manuscript Wishlist, which I don't know if you've heard of that.
No, I have not. I'm going to write that down.
So the manuscript wish list has profiles for agents. So that's a good place to look to, and you can kind of see what title, what kind of books they're looking for. It's similar to the book that you mentioned, where they have the listings for the agencies, but it's like an online resource.
Now, in the nonfiction area, you mentioned anxiety is kind of a hot topic, I guess, coming just the world we live in right now and coming out of everything. I can make a laundry list of things that give us anxiety between the economy and the post-pandemic and just everything. So, and the divisiveness of our culture. What are some of the other topics that are hot for nonfiction and self-help?
I'd say cooking is always popular, more like lifestyle. More like personal development, more things like on success. What else? Yeah, definitely like mental health, self-care. Everyone's interested in, taking care of themselves, and especially coming from the pandemic and all the stress of that situation. Health, self-care is really important, happiness and emotional well-being, trauma.
How important is it for the author to weave in some of their, I guess it depends on the type of book, but their own personal story, anecdotes, life-changing lessons to kind of amp up some of the information? If it's self-help, here's how you do this. How important is it, in your opinion, Lindsay, for the author to have some type of credibility there and maybe coming through personal experience?
Great question. In my opinion, I think it's great to have, the author be obviously the expert in the area, but also to, if they do have personal experiences they're able to weave in, I do think that that's really effective. I think it allows them to reach their reader more personally. Obviously it's a lot different for someone to talk about something if they haven't, experienced something versus if they've gone through something hard and they're kind of able to be vulnerable about it in the writing. I've also seen a lot of authors use like case studies and different things from people they've, worked with or different experiences they've had from, outside clients and different things.
It seems that the whole aspect, even if it's nonfiction, and I know nonfiction is growing very quickly, that the storytelling aspect is still important. Kind of like, what does the main character want? Why can't they get it? And that being the reader or the author and both of them, and then helping them through storytelling technique, a series of challenges and getting them to where they want to go and maybe giving them the ending that they want, but not in the way they expect it. Weaving that through a nonfiction proposal and book. Does that make sense, or is that too far a bridge to cross?
I think that the idea of storytelling, as far as getting some, if somebody's buying a self-help book and they want to improve something in their life, giving them kind of like the tools to do that. Mm-hmm. And if you can weave in personal examples, I do think that's effective. So I think that would be a way, kind of giving them like a roadmap, through your self-help book. Mm-hmm. 'Cause obviously anybody who's buying a self-help book is really looking for, they need help with something personally, or they're looking for guidance in an area. So they want something that's going to help whatever situation they're in.
Okay. Lindsay Tribell, my very special guest from HCI Books. We're talking about, how to break into nonfiction book publishing. So what, for your job, what do you look at? What comes to you? And what do you look at in terms of saying, hey, I can make this work, or this is going to need this, or I don't know about this. What's your process and what do you look for?
Great. So as far as the authors that we work with, I initially am looking at like their social media platforms, if they have one. If I look at like previous interviews they've done, if they're doing speaking engagements. In nonfiction, a lot of the authors that we end up working with will have done speaking engagements, usually on the topic or on something similar, and that it can be, the book can kind of be weaved into. A lot of times they've done media in the past. So I kind of look at the big picture of what they've already done. Mm-hmm. And I call that like the author platform, which, you know, is kind of like a term for their platform as an author and how they can promote it on their own. But I look at those things and, you know, make sure that we utilize everything that they, you know, that they have available, whether it's, you know, making sure that the book's integrated into their speaking gigs, that it's integrated into any type of interviews they're going to be doing. If they have social media or, you know, if they don't have social media, helping them kind of grow some social media, or if they do have it, you know, integrating book content into the social media. So those are some areas that I think are really important. Also, a lot of times authors will have some personal connections that help to get testimonials for the book. So a lot of times on a book, you'll see on the, either like on the back cover or on the Amazon page or, you know, wherever the book publisher's page or Barnes & Noble page, you'll see like quotes from, you know, other authors or other influential people. So those are like testimonials that the author was able to get as a result of having like a personal connection usually. And those are things that we look at too, is, you know, if they have any good connections that they can get blurbs for the book. We call them blurbs.
Okay. That's a great point. So the marketing part, throwing it at the author, what do they need to do to sell the book? How important is that for the author? Because a lot of the authors feel that the work is done. They submit the book and they're like, go do it. Who goes and gets those blurbs for them? I know if they have personal, like for me, if I did a book, I can get lots of blurbs because of all my guests. But for the lay person, how do they get blurbs? And does the publishing company help them with that?
So I think that's a good question. It would depend on the publisher. I can only speak to HCI's process because I don't work with other publishers, but at HCI, the authors are in charge of getting the blurbs. Occasionally, maybe the editor will be able to get another blurb for them. But at HCI, the authors are, that's something that they do. I can't speak for other publishers though, obviously, because they probably have different processes or...
Can the agents help with that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I've had agents get blurbs for a book as well.
And then, so basically what does the publishing company give the author besides the distribution? Do they put any skin in the game? Do they have a promotional budget? Because it seems like, and take this the right way, that the author writes the book, the publishing company makes most of the money on it. The author is asked to promote the book. It's basically what the book is and how are you going to sell it? What tools does the publishing company, like yours, bring to the table to help that author sell their book? And so everybody wins.
So, and this is another question that, you know, it really depends on the book publisher. So I can only speak to what HCI does. But, you know, at HCI, we do have, you know, I'm the marketing and publicity coordinator, so that you do get support for, you know, for those kinds of activities. We'll arrange author interviews. We run ads, like digital ads. We help with, provide like flyers and like some social media tools. I work with the authors on like their speaking engagements and different things like that. So, those are things that we do at HCI. But, you know, depending on where you're publishing, they might have like a large budget or they might not have any budget at all. They might have a whole team of marketing and publicity colleagues.
I guess it depends on the opportunity. Because everybody has this thing. Oh, I write my book. It's getting published. I'm going on a book tour around the country, signing at bookstores. And that's not necessarily the case. That's rarer, actually, unless it's your local bookstore.
Yeah, we don't tour the authors. I do set up a lot of author events in local places. So like as an example, I have an author who's doing an event in Portland soon. And, you know, so those are kinds of things that happen. Or if the author's traveling already. Mm-hmm. I had an author who was doing a lot of travel for speaking. So I was able to reach out to like bookstores in the area and get her a lot of bookstore events, which was great, but you know, like HCI wouldn't actually like, you know, pay for a tour for the author.
Do you work with nowadays there's some companies that do this where the book is released kind of online, like a chapter, and then you can pay for it. And ultimately you end up buying the book online and you get a physical copy and it helps pay for the production of the book. What's your thoughts on that?
So we don't do, can you tell me about that one more time?
It's like you're building a website. You have a website devoted to the launch of a new book and you leak out chapter by chapter. People sign up and then maybe they, you know, take the subscription. Okay. And then ultimately they paid for the book and then they get a copy of the physical book when it's done.
Oh, okay. We haven't had any authors do that. We do have authors that will post a sample chapter of the book on their website, or they'll use it as kind of like a lead gate on their website to get, you know, an email sign up, and then they'll send the sample chapter in hopes that somebody will buy the actual book. But we haven't had anyone do that, but I'll have to take a look at that. That's interesting.
It's a different model. I've read about it. I don't know how well it works, but I guess it could if it's done the right way. So what can an author do to be a good client, if you will, for the publishing company and to work with somebody like you? What are you looking for in the author to say, this guy's playing ball, or wow, what a disaster?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is collaboration for me. I really enjoy working with authors, and I think that I work really well with them, and they work, you know, I've had really great experiences with authors collaborating for like the same goal. So, you know, being, available for anything that HCI can work, you know, can put together, or also, you know, me helping them with their marketing platform and getting all the different things going that they're working on. So I think just collaboration mm-hmm. is really helpful.
And we get that way. Go ahead. How about publicists? Does your company provide the publicists, or do you recommend that an author hire an outside publicist?
So at HCI, I do publicity. So I'll set up interviews. We'll bring on some additional PR support. We do have some authors that do hire their own outside publicists, and that actually happens pretty frequently. So I have kind of all those scenarios.
What do you think of that? What is that a good idea?
I mean, I think it depends on the book and the author's goal. I think that, you know, we've had authors that have really had great success with it and others that were kind of disappointed by the results. I think the one thing about publicity is that there's no guarantees that, you know, you'll get coverage for your book. So I think if you're going to hire an outside publicist, you have to kind of realize that there's no, you know, just because you're hiring someone doesn't mean that you'll get the results you're hoping for. but you know, I have authors who do bring them on. I have others that don't. And you know, we provide a lot of PR support regardless of whether or not they bring on an outside publicist. And that's another thing that would, you know, vary at every publisher. You know, there's probably publishers that don't bring on outside publicists at all, whereas there's others that probably primarily do. So it really depends on the publisher.
What are some of the mistakes, the usual, predictable, common mistakes that authors make during the process that can be rectified? And what's your solution?
I'd say that I've had some authors that try to do too much. So like, especially with like social media can be really time consuming. So I've had some authors that, you know, don't really have too many social media outlets established and, you know, try to do almost like too much and then kind of burn out and, end up kind of just letting them sit and, you know, not be active. So I think in that kind of a scenario, I always advise if an author doesn't have social media already to maybe just pick like one or two platforms where you really think your audience would be and then focus on those platforms. And that way it's less of a time commitment because I think people, I'm sure you know from doing the podcast mm-hmm. and all your social media and everything that it does, you know, it's a time consuming activity. And I think people who are new to that sometimes don't realize that.
And some of them don't like it. You know, some people, particularly authors, like they don't even want to be on Facebook. I mean, some do, but others, like, they just, here's the book. That's it. Right.
We've had some authors that are not really interested in doing social media. Quite a few of the HCI authors do like to use social media, at least like one platform. We have had quite a few authors that have multiple platforms that they're updating regularly.
What would you suggest then? So if somebody's going to do social media, let's say it's a cookbook, where would you put them?
So I would look at their topics, like, for example, like cooking. You know, I would look at the different platforms and try to figure out where most of the people who are interested in cooking. To me, cooking is very visual. So I would just immediately think like TikTok or Instagram. Mm-hmm. But I would look at your topic, try to figure out where your audience is, and then, you know, pick those one or two platforms and then just focus on building those. So it's not, doesn't become such an overwhelming task.
So it would be the author would then build a specific part of, like, let's say they're on Instagram, they'd have a different identity, or it would be just themselves. Let's say they have their own personal page. They're going to do something new. It's about cooking. Should they have a separate page for that, or should it be all part of them? I guess it depends if they are part of the brand or not.
Yeah, I would recommend if you already have something established to use that, because it's so hard to build a following to then not use your pre-established accounts, as long as it's relevant and makes sense for your branding. I think it would be not great to kind of desert that and start something new. But I think it depends on your content. You want to make sure, obviously, it's relevant to your existing accounts. I have had a lot of authors use their name as the handle, their name and author. I have a lot of authors that are doing that and kind of building their own like brand and persona on social media.
That's a good idea?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay. What's your favorite part of your job, Lindsay?
I really love working in book publishing because I'm always learning about new things. From working with the authors, you know, they're obviously all passionate about their subjects. So I'm, you know, it's nice to work with, you know, everyone who's enthusiastic. And I like that I'm helping them get their knowledge to readers.
Have you considered a book of your own? Maybe about this topic?
I know I haven't written a book, but yeah, maybe I'll come up with a book publishing book. That's a good idea. I've always been kind of intrigued. I have a dog and I've always been thought it'd be fun to write a book about my dog.
That's hilarious. So what's the best advice you could give to everybody out there who has a nonfiction book idea in mind?
So I would, you know, look at, kind of assess your current author platform. So, you know, looking at, you know, are you on social media? Are you doing any type of speaking engagements? Have you been interviewed for podcasts in different places, you know, media? And, look to grow that. And if you're trying to find a traditional publisher, by growing those, you know, your platform in those areas, I think it makes you more attractive to a traditional publisher. And if for some reason you can't find a traditional publisher, because obviously it is really competitive, you still have those avenues for if you were to self-publish, you could still use them for marketing. So it's, you know, time well spent.
How does that work, that last point you made? So if you're not with a traditional publisher, how do you what avenues are you referring to?
So if you're not with a traditional publisher, but if you have like, let's just say you self-published, but you had like your own social media, okay, and you had like some connections to media or podcasters, you know, you could do some of that outreach yourself and do the promoting yourself, even though like you're obviously you're self-published. So you're not working with a traditional publisher to help you, but you could do a lot of those things on your own.
Got it. Best advice for our authors out there?
My best advice is to, find something you really love that you want to write about, especially in nonfiction. Find something that's unique, maybe a unique take on your topic, and not give up.
I love it. I love it. So thank you so much, Lindsay. Tell us where people can find more about you and HCI Books and anything else you want to tell us about HCI.
Sure. The HCI Books website is hcibooks.com. We're also on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. So you can find us in those places as well.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for helping our audience, helping me, and for a very interesting interview and Guys Radio. Thank you, Lindsay.
Thank you so much for having me.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, terrific conversation with publishing executive Lindsay Tribell, helping us with our publishing journeys from that spark of an idea, the passion you put behind it, writing those first couple of pages and saying to yourself, where am I going with this? And then developing a book. And it can be, as we talked about, if it's nonfiction, you don't have to write the whole book up front, but you may want to, but you're probably going to have to go back and do some editing there. So you want to have a proposal. There is a format for a proposal that we discussed that you should follow, as you can shape it the way you want, but you need to follow, get that basic information out there. And I would strongly advise having the tone and the voice of your book be included in that proposal so you can make that connection with who's ever reading the proposal right up front. They'll get a taste for how you communicate and what your book is all about. You have to be very clear about that. It is marketing. It's a marketing, I'm not going to say it's an advertisement, but your proposal is a marketing platform for you, and you've got to get that right. And then learning how to make a deal, work with a team, and get yourself out there and really communicate what your book and your brand is all about, because to have a successful book breakthrough in today's marketplace where you have, as we discussed, all these celebrities have the big platforms, they have a built-in audience, you've got all the self-publishing, the hybrid publishing, the audio books, the digital books, getting through is tough. There's more publishing, but there's more competition. So it's a give and take there. Bottom line is, believe in yourself, believe in your idea, be passionate about it, and be as clear as you can in terms of articulating what you're communicating in your book, in your proposal, and in all your marketing materials, and in your interviews. A lot of times folks come on our show here in Guys Guys Radio, I'm very clear to make sure that they don't come on, it's just about selling their book. There's a way to sell without really selling, and that's to have a conversation, discuss what the book's about, and then we get into the book. But it's another skill, and everybody who's a writer and wants to be successful needs to get out there. They've got to get on the air, they've got to do social media, or have a team, have somebody do it for them. But they can't just write the book and hand it in unless you're a very established author. And even in those cases, your publishing company is going to want to get you out there and make sure you connect with your audience and the publishing community plus the readers out there. And you're going to have to go through all the different platforms to do that. So I want to thank all the 700 plus guests I've interviewed as thought leaders over the last couple of years, and also my wonderful producer, Chris. I want to thank my strategy lead, Ryan, and I also want to thank, most importantly, you, our consistently growing audience worldwide. We've got more and more great guests lined up throughout the year. I can't wait to do next week's interview and the next week after that, because we've got a lot of terrific people with a lot of great information lined up. So until then, have a great week, and like I always say, guys, finish first.